This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nothing to me says romance like looking for condoms and Hennessy.
She's the crazy one of the season.
And the drunk.
He calls her Naggy.
His shirt's open like a Colombian drug lord.
He does not like pizza.
Can we talk about the big wide open fish mouth?
He's like a walking success poster. Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. My name is Ryan Jones, sitting in the big chair because Christine Lee is off doing important things, but we do have Katie Plata. Hello, Katie.
Hi.
Our special Bachelor expert. Maybe you can shine some light on what has been, well, let's just call it a less than stellar end to this season.
It's a pretty stale season, let me say.
And I think it started off really strong. I think it was, you know, and we've talked about this with Matt in the past, it was a lot of fun, and even with the stoppage, it still was trending in the right direction. They seemed to get past the drama, and then I don't know whether it got caught up on the Dean Christina stuff or the scallop fingers. It seemed to sort of hit a wall.
Well, this season had a lot more love triangles or love octagons, maybe, than past seasons, but it did start off a good season, and then some people started getting mean. It was a lot of high school mean girls action, and then jealousy, and then that just turned into making this season not so great.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll talk about Deanie Baby in a minute, and I really think the powers that be sent Dean to paradise so that he could become the next Bachelor.
I agree with that.
And that hasn't happened at all. If anything, it's the exact opposite. It's almost like in his season with Rachel when he was guaranteed basically a hometown. All he had to do was not fall all over himself, and then he managed to fall all over himself and nearly cost himself the hometown. In this case, I think they said, wow, that's heavy. We can't off of that. We can't make him the Bachelor, but you know what? Let's send him to paradise, give him the Nick treatment so he can go be Deanie Baby and everybody gets excited about him again. Because even after everything that happened on his season, people remember when the season opened, all anybody wanted to see or talk to, or if you're a girl, date, was Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
I think that the plan was to send him to paradise and that he was going to become the next Bachelor, because even at his interesting hometown date, after that, everyone, well, I can't speak for everyone, but the Bachelor Nation on Twitter still fell in love with him, even through the family dynamics and everything, and they still loved him. Everyone just loved him.
And, you know, fast forward to coming into this week, We had left Paradise with Christina basically saying the orphanage is more fun than Paradise right now.
Just so sad.
Beyond sad. Then we start out this week with Dean somehow just now getting the info that, hey, last night, remember when you were making out with D'Lo in the pool and chicken fighting and whatever else? Yeah. Hey, Christina was right here. And this was like light bulb for him. What are you... She was right here?
And not only that, but how big is this area anyway? You know, you have probably like 8 bedrooms, and then you have the small beach, you have that one pool and one hot tub, and the bar's right there. You should know that everyone is watching you. If you're in the pool with a girl, you should know that everyone's surroundings probably watching you. He had no idea. Well, played it off
Thank
as
you.
He had no idea that Christina was right there and saw everything. And Christina even said to Dean, you would have still done it even if you knew.
And that's an interesting point.
He didn't really know how to respond to that.
Because I get what he's trying to say. That, listen, if you're standing right here, like, Katie, if you and I had been dating and then there was another girl right here and I'm staring right at you, not hard to miss you, I'm not going to start making out with this girl. Or you would think.
You would think.
If you were in another room, hey, fair game. So I understand what he was saying. But the flip side is absolutely true, because you're still, if you're still interested in her, and what Christina had said was, hey, the night before, you were more than happy to be with me in whatever ways you want to assume.
Yeah.
Then to be hours later shacking up with D'Lo or whatever, with D'Lo in the pool. This is one where I do see Dean's point of, well, I wouldn't have done it if I knew you were there.
Right.
But then I also understand Christina, because in her mind, they were still working to try to be a couple.
Yeah. And he doesn't, I don't think he realizes it, but he keeps digging himself into a deeper hole every time he opens his mouth. And I don't think he realizes that, but he even said, I know how bad this is, but I keep letting it happen.
And it was so funny, because as the light bulb goes off, you had him basically saying everything that all of us were saying last week while watching it.
Mm-hmm.
That's so horrible. Who would do that? Yeah, buddy, this is sort of been what we've been talking about the last 3 weeks. Welcome to the party.
Yeah.
And they sort of have it out again, because Dean decides, well, I need to go talk to her and apologize, and they go through all that. And record scratch to, well, we want to take you to our previous scheduled programming, which is bringing more people into Paradise with next to no time left. Let's see how that goes.
I think they just wanted to see how many people they could fit in through the end of Paradise. It was just a stream of pretty much nobody's, besides the twins. We know them. We fully know them.
But I almost wonder if, besides almost just challenging themselves, they said, well, we invited all these people here and we're paying for them to be here. Oh, crap. We only have 2 days left. Let's just throw everybody in now. And enter Blake.
Ugh, sweaty Blake.
Super sweaty.
So disgusting.
I mean, when you have to... Basically, as you're going to see Chris, you're already shaking your shirt to separate it from your skin.
But you can't, because it's just it's just glued.
Basically, his button-down had become a button-down compression shirt.
So gross. And
that's a bad start right off the bat. But then he's coming in to try to not be the versus Waboom guy. You know,
Which failed miserably.
It was Blake versus Waboom the whole time they were both on Rachel's season, and he was there to make sure he wasn't that guy anymore. And then in every conversation, what does he start talking about?
Yeah, it does not help your case when that is all you talk about. And you mention Lucas or Waboom in every single conversation that you have. No wonder why you're having a hard time getting a date.
it was the same thing that people say, well, Benzie, he didn't just talk about his dog. But then every time he sat down, he talked about his dog. If you're going to say, oh, I really don't want to talk about this, then guess who doesn't have to talk about this?
You.
Thank you. But Blake was leading off everything. And I think he was going to have trouble either way. Not just because of the sweating, because, I mean, Josh had the sweats last year and he managed to wrangle Amanda for a bit. So, fine. Maybe you can get over the sweats. But then on top of that, to just continue with the main reason why you were lucky to be in Rachel's season as long as you were, like,
yeah,
there's just not much there. And so I think he might have been going there in his mind to get beyond that. But I have to imagine this is the last we'll see of him. I mean, he might be on the final after whatever, but this is,
yeah,
this
is it. Hopefully this is it. But he aimed high and went for Christina.
God bless.
And she very politely said that she was figuring some stuff out and she would not, it would not feel right going on the date.
And less politely off camera saying, I set the bar really low and he met the expectations.
Yes.
And, you know, God bless him. He kept trying and he finally ended up with Kristen, who is quite in demand in her time there. I know there's been some drama, obviously, with scalp fingers and all that stuff. But
she is, what, three dates in?
Right.
I think that's pretty,
now,
pretty good.
Maybe not with the best people always, but that's...
Well, or any of them.
Or any of them. But that's pretty impressive for someone who, you know, had all the Mean Girls stuff around her and now to be able to go on a third date. But then it wasn't just the two of them because enter another very blah...
Mediocre.
Previous contestant who just is there. Why? Okay, I can't even say why, but it's just there for to be there, and that's Fred.
That name just says it all. Like, Fred.
Apologies to any listeners named Fred, but I have to happen to agree. And I have the most boring name ever, and I don't even like Fred. So he walks in, and for some reason the girls are interested in Fred. I don't get that.
I actually don't get it either.
I got a lot of the guys there, and pretty much almost everyone other than Jack Stone that are still there. I probably get them all, even Tickle a little bit.
I don't get Tickle. Very little.
I didn't get this, but the girls were excited, and Fred saddles up and goes right after Dom, and she accepts, which then all of a sudden... That becomes another triangle right there because
Diggy.
He thought he had that locked down. Well, hey, this is paradise. And I thought she handled it well because, hey, good looking guy. I'm interested. He doesn't look like a kid to me. You know, the whole, because again, another person that's trying to get past how he was sort of portrayed in Rachel's season.
Bad boy, camp kid.
Which, like, I don't know, is that
stop
really...
Stop talking about it.
But is that a thing? That can you be a bad boy camp kid? I mean, at, you know, 10 years later, it's...
I mean, for Rachel, you can, because that's when she knew him. But now it just has... It's not relevant at all.
Yeah, and so instead of going on individual dates, now they get to go on a double date, which we almost got to see another... Yakking, which I don't know if anyone will ever top Vanessa in the 3G or whatever.
That was still a romantic date, even though it ended up poorly for her. There was no romance on this date at all.
Well, not for...
I would be Kristen in this situation on this boat because I would have gotten seasick way earlier than she would. Except I don't think I would act as miserable and down as she did.
It was really a perfect storm for her because not only did they decide to put her in the middle so that if she did have to puke, she would have to puke over someone. And that was the thing. Dominique was just like, aim that way. Away from me.
But, and towards Blake.
And towards Blake, which, I mean, that would have been the perfect topper in many ways to his time.
I really wish that actually happened.
Right? And then... for some reason, she wore all kinds of mascara and stuff, so she had the raccoon eyes going on.
Well, there is a such thing as waterproof
apparently
mascara.
Not in her world.
But you are in Mexico. You should be wearing waterproof mascara every single day. You shouldn't have the option of not having waterproof mascara. But
clearly,
Kristen clearly did not get that memo of the packing list.
So she's sick, and she doesn't look great in her own estimation. And then immediately she starts talking about how I'm afraid to open my eyes, and I'm going to lose my contact. So, of course, what happens?
Contact cases.
Well, you can do that, too. But she loses her contact. And now, while seemingly Fred and Dom, they're having all kinds of fun, they're jumping off this weird balloon thingy, mm-hmm. and they're sitting on the dock trying to put in her contact lens.
Yeah, it was just an awkward, well, I mean, double date, but just, it would have been more terrible if they were by themselves, I think. So at least we had Fred and Dominique off to the side, at least having some fun on this date, and it wasn't completely a downer.
It was a great split screen, though, because you had them going, woo, one after the other after the other, and then...
I can't see.
Sitting on the dock. Wait, how do you... Wait, you got to get your eye over there? And no, how is it? And I did feel a little bad for Blake, and not... The beginning part was his own doing, and I get that. And even after that, because he's Blake, talking about waboom, 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 waboom.
Mm-hmm.
But all he wanted, he finally got someone to go on a date with him, and then it's just like...
There was one moment when she was trying to fix her contact. If you just looked at Blake's face, and he was just like, is this seriously happening to me? But he was trying to be a good sport and helping her out. But... Speaking of another awkward, it then cut to a Jack Stone kissing lesson, which not sure needed to happen, but...
Well, considering where this episode went, a lot of ways, this might have actually been one of the highlights, because I guess Kristen shared with the group that Jack Stone was not a great kisser. And I don't know, I mean, it's not the biggest deal for girls to talk about, especially in Bachelor in Paradise or The Bachelor, whatever. Like, that's pretty standard stuff. But I guess you get bored. And so then the girls decided, well, we're going to find out. And much like Scallop Fingers for a while, Jack had no idea about this. He's just like, why do these women want to make out with me all of a sudden? But mm-hmm. Okay.
They were just looking out for him. helping him out.
They're helping a buddy out. But they had to ply him with drinks first.
Yes.
Which,
obviously,
with how the season started, take that how you want. But then all of a sudden he went, and this is one of his least serial killer moments in his confessional, where he said, I couldn't get anybody. Now I'm making out with everybody. it's whether
good for him.
Yeah, I mean, from Jasmine to D'Lo, who, how that didn't become a bigger thing. And
I was waiting for that to blow up a little bit or come down in the last night's episode somehow. But it just, like, everyone just brushed that off. And she didn't just do, like, a one kiss. Like, it was multiple. And they were long makeout kisses.
And that's the thing, because I can see it being, hey, we're just having fun. Everybody was making out with him. But, yeah, not only did they make out, but they sort of found a little nook, no pun intended, to make out in several times, and yet somehow it didn't become a thing. And even when Christina and Dean had it out again, because why wouldn't you, she even brought that up when he finally manned up and made his decision. Mm-hmm. Okay, nope, it's T-Lo. Oh, you mean the girl who was making out with Jack Stone? And you could tell Dean didn't know.
Yeah, but I think he was trying to play it off as if, yeah, whatever.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, it happened, but I'm still choosing her.
Because at the same time, like, while he was probably thinking, what the hell, it would seem a bit, hypocritical, considering he was going between the two of them. Hey, if she wants to make out with someone, how can I tell her or get upset about it in this moment? But Christina, that was really well played by her. Like, she was,
yeah,
she had that in her back pocket and was waiting and threw it down at the perfect time. And you saw on his face, he had no idea.
She's a star. She knows exactly what to do at the right,
yeah,
right moments.
And, you know, so we can sort of go away from Jack and making out and all that fun stuff, because, you know, we had finally the conclusion of Christina and Dean. And the reason I want to go off that, because she is a star, and I thought she handled herself really well, with one exception. I thought she made what initially Matt made the same mistake when he was just going to leave. He got to come back and give someone a rose. She makes the decision, F this, I'm leaving. She should have given the rose to someone. I know that the very slim pickings at that point, because, like, do you really want to give it to Blake or Fred? Probably not.
Yeah.
But it's, and maybe because you don't get as much of the drama, because then Dean has to, you know, run after her for, you know, oh, wait, can I walk you out? Which.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she made the right decision by not giving a rose, because it really would have been Fred or Blake. And did she talk to either one
of
them besides Blake?
Yeah, same.
Besides turning down Blake's date?
You know what she could have done? She could have said, you know, Christina, and said, I want to give this rose to person that I talked to for 30 seconds, and in those 30 seconds, already knew he was a better person than Dean. Boom, Blake, get up here.
Drop the rose,
walk out, to really stick the knife in, because when you're telling someone they're worse than Blake...
Okay, that would have been a good exit. Because besides that exit, I don't think she should have given that rose. Because at least when Matt left, he knew that Jasmine wanted to stay.
Oh, did she ever.
So I think he did the right thing by coming back and just giving it to her, even though she was just, like, being annoying in that situation and didn't really acknowledge him. But I think he made the right decision there. I think Christina made the right decision by not giving the rose, unless he did it like she did it like you just said, because that would have been epic.
It would have been great. But other than that, listen, she clearly had feelings for him, and especially the fact that they left the cameras and were still able to make things happen. And Dean got all up in D'Lo's business, and admittedly, along the way, he kept saying, I know I'm being an idiot. I know I'm going to, you know, I know you care about me more than she does. Like, all of these different things. And then he sort of goes through it all again when he follows her out. And I hate myself. I'm such an idiot. Which, whether anything's happening with D'Lo and him right now or not, that's one of those things. It's sort of like with Rachel, Brian, and Peter. It's one thing to know, hey, yeah, she picked me. But then you watch it back and it's like,
wait a second.
How am I supposed to feel about this? So D'Lo's going to watch this back. Again, let's assume that they're still together, which, hey, whatever. But assume they're still together. She's going to watch this back and think, how am I supposed to feel about this? All he kept saying was, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And, you know, he posted an Instagram last night about, you're out of my league. So you're saying D'Lo's in your league, which I,
yeah,
even at your Keith Deeney babies, I don't think that D'Lo's in your league, but that's a different story.
Yeah, and I think even the next day after the rose ceremony, and he was with D'Lo, and he's like, yeah, I feel good about this, but there was no sincerity, I think, in that, and I feel like he was trying to convince himself. That he knows, he said in the beginning, if Christina leaves him, he will regret it instantly. And I think that's exactly what happened. He knows that it shouldn't have happened that way. He regrets it. And now he's trying to convince himself that D'Lo is the right choice.
Yeah, I mean, because the rest of the rose ceremony pretty much played out I think other than her leaving, I think is pretty simple. Lacey to Daniel, Taylor to Derek, Amanda to Robbie, and they went on a date, but we don't even really talk about that because that's such a waste of a date card.
And I feel like we know everything about both of those people already, so it's not like they needed to ask each other about their background or their last relationship.
Yeah, I don't know who decided it was a good idea to send them on a date, because it was not only the shortest shown date ever, but it was boring and predictable, and so they're fine. Raven to Adam, Dominique to Diggy.
We also had Digging Deep with Diggy.
Oh, which I actually liked that.
I did too. I thought it was adorable.
Because not only was it really cute, and I think this is the right use of cute, where no one's offended. Mm-hmm. But I think it might have kept him there, because they seem to have Dom and Fred seem to have fun, and then he jumps in with the cards, and you can tell he wrote them not just for him to ask her, but for exactly what happened, for mm-hmm. her to turn the table and ask him, so that way any answer he didn't like, a la hug or kiss, he could turn around. So that's a good point.
I feel like through Dominique's eyes, Diggy and Fred were probably on the same level, and she probably really didn't know who she was going to pick, and then he came in with the card game.
That was solid. Yeah, no, that's a good point, because that probably kept him there. That was a good move. And then you had Jasmine to our buddy Tickle, Kristen to Jack Stone, Christina out, and then D'Lo to Dean. And before Christina left, because I do want to wrap up this whole situation with Deanie Baby and Christina.
It's a horrible situation.
Horrible situation. We saw the feisty Christina come out, because Raven sort of was trying just to stick up for D'Lo more than anything, I think. Mm-hmm. And or trying to just make sure Christina's anger was all focused in the right place, which is with Dean. And I get it takes two to tango, but she was just saying, you can't blame D'Lo, which Christina was having none of.
Yeah.
She was more than happy to blame her. And I don't know, because if we think Dean should know that Christina was there, then we have to say the same thing about D'Lo, no?
Right. I think that leading up to that night or that day, D'Lo was really, as much as you wanted to, was really not to blame. It was, she didn't do anything bad or malicious towards Christina besides asking on the date the first time she came in. But after that whole make out and play in the pool, like, she knew at that point that she was watching too and continued to do it. And I think starting at that point, moving towards the rose ceremony, D'Lo was kind of getting a little nasty towards Christina. And you could see that when she left, when Christina left too.
Oh, she shot. What a look.
A look. Ooh. And also some smiles at the end. And I didn't like that because I love Christina.
The smile was there, and then Dean walks her out, and that's
she
where you start thinking
happy.
Like, oh, maybe Dean's going to go home. Like, he's going to get zero, because he's going to walk her out and then come Christina out and then come back, and there ain't going to be no rose for him.
I don't even think at that point if he left with her, that would have salvaged anything. Like, I feel like that wouldn't usually.
No, that's what I'm saying, is if he came back and didn't get a rose because D'Lo was like, screw you, then you at that point you can't even catch up to Christina, because what are you gonna, that's the whole, like, well,
she
I don't have any other
me,
choices,
so I guess now I'm gonna have to choose you.
It's the same thing. And so he comes back and gets the rose, but that leads into sort of the next morning, where it's sort of a weird vibe, because you had a lot of drama with Christina, and like you said, it sounded almost like Dean was trying to convince himself, and they were both saying, yeah, this is so great, but I don't know if anybody bought it.
I didn't.
They just...
He was trying to... Actually, both of them, I think, to a point, were trying to convince themselves that this was... It was more Dean convincing himself, I think, D'Lo thinks that this is just going to go forever and end in marriage, but it's not.
I almost wonder if the two of them were driven more subconsciously. I don't think either of them did it maliciously, but subconsciously by the whole triangle aspect of it. And the idea of, you know, he's dancing between the two and she's sort of trying to win him from Christina. And once that's gone, you're sort of left with,
oh no, it's just us.
What now? And they tried to sell that, you know, he had his arm around her and they're just sort of sitting there like, yeah, I feel good. This is good. Yeah.
Feel good about this.
We can spend some, get
Where's
to know
your
each
head
other.
At?
Yeah, a lot of
what
lot
are you
wearing,
feeling? That's all. Oh, that would drive me insane.
That would be very important.
I would
important,
not last with Dean.
That would be a very important part on the Bachelor Bingo. Would be, you know, where
oh, yeah.
you head at. That's like the, you could pull any of
how
the.
How are you feeling?
How are you feeling? And so we can sort of close the book on them only because, as we found out, Dean finally seemed to learn his lesson.
Reluctantly.
Reluctantly, because, of course, they had the perfect segue of someone saying, oh, no, you know, no one can ruin anything, and then enter the twins. And I'm sure if you've watched any Bachelor property over the last 2 years, you're familiar with these fine ladies. They ended up getting their own show for a moment.
Yeah. I tried to watch it. I really did. I didn't last too long.
Well, speaking of not lasting for long, so the twins get there and immediately, well, I'm going for Dean. Well, I'm going for Derek. And you
good
knew,
luck with that.
Yeah, you knew right away Derek was going to be off limits. So even though they came in and we want Derek, it was pretty clear like this isn't happening.
Dean, but the limited edition Deanie baby.
Which, very valuable, as they were happy to talk about. The limited edition Deanie baby was available in their eyes because no one's engaged there. They're not, you know, whatever. F everyone, we're just here. Mm-hmm. The thing with the twins shtick, last year I thought it was fun. This year, I think it might have been fun if it were at the beginning and not the beginning, like post shutdown. Even if they brought them in and that was sort of the two people to try to liven it up after the Corinne DeMario stuff. But the problem is they came in with such a nasty sort of attitude about it. I think they sort of lost a bit of their charm.
Completely agree with
because
that.
Wells was sort of right on when they got there about, you know, oh, they're a national treasure. And for as far as Bachelor Nation goes, I think I'd agree with that leading up to this. But they just came in and, oh, we're not homewreckers, but whatever, and F everyone. And
they thought that they acted as if they were better than anyone else there.
It's just,
which, yeah, you along with probably Amanda, are the longest in this,
sort of
this Bachelor
crop,
yeah, family. But you don't have to act like that.
And I get what the show was trying to do. I don't get what they were trying to do with Blake and Fred, but I get what they were trying to do with the twins, because if you're going to save the best for last and go out with a bang and all that, and I don't know, we can talk about producers and all this, but I can't imagine this is how they would have wanted them to act. I think you would want them to come in and just be their bubbly, and they showed us a little bit of that. Even the silly stuff about who's got bigger boobs and nicer special places and all that.
Yeah,
like that's the twins and them not knowing what's a fish and what's not,
scallop.
And what's a scallop and
sprout.
Yeah, whether it's, you know, just like Daniel has stuck to what Daniel does. He didn't know what mahi mahi was.
Yeah,
the twins didn't know what a scallop was. But the nastiness is just
not necessary.
No, I mean, you finally, because they took it as a personal insult that they couldn't find someone to go on dates with them without realizing it's basically the last, which we end up finding out, it's the last day in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly many chairs to be taken let alone two of them.
Yeah.
So they convince people to go on dates with them.
Kind of.
Well, this is where it gets a little more embarrassing. Because Jack sort of throws a wrench in it. Because they woke up Tickle Monster and he agreed to go because he's a tickle. Even though she said and that was, again, one of their funnier, even though that was on the negative side, a little funnier about, like, if he tries to tickle me, I'll drop him. That's at least a little more twinish.
Right up there, Allie.
I'm not sure why Jack decided to go. I get sort of why Tickle Monster was going to go. And then Jack sort of comes to his senses as they're getting ready to leave. Maybe not your best move, but at that point, you probably should have been pot committed and just...
He could have done it on the date, which I guess
that way they would have gotten their big FU fingers up to everybody.
Yeah, might have been worse, but...
So he says, yeah, I'm not going to go. And then the twins have their meltdown about we're too good for this, F everyone.
Throwing scallops.
End up throwing scallops, and then they become scallop fingers. But question, is this run, two-part, was this the shortest stint that we've seen... Maybe on any of the shows. And I say that because even the people that get sent home night one on Bachelor, Bachelorette are there for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And in Paradise, even Blake and Fred sort of had morning to night.
With an actual date.
With an actual date. So the twins, I mean, could it have been... 3 hours?
If that.
If that?
Really? I think that has definitely been the shortest stint.
Which then leads into with the twins, who are, as they'd be happy to tell you, one of the more well-known non-bachelor bachelorettes that the series has seen, is there more of a fart of an appearance? I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Like,
yeah, it didn't help their appearance in any way.
So lame. And I can't think of, you know, especially even the last couple of Paradises when they've tried to bring out everybody they have. Like, who was the last name? And, you know, this is all relative. But the last name to show up with bleh. Like, such a wah, wah, wah. Even Chad at least got in fights and stuff. Like,
yeah. I don't even know.
That's it. And so you can blame the twins ultimately because they're the ones that did everything. But I think this is one of those cases where I don't know whether the producers started just to panic because we're at the end, we haven't used all these people, or because there were too many couples happening, or I don't know. But they had the stoppage at the beginning of the season, and then they sort of caught a pretty nice rhythm. Maybe that's when the twins would have made more sense.
Yeah.
But then now, like, they're there for a couple hours, and then...
Yeah, I feel like the season at this point, I mean, I know we're at the end, but has just gone completely off track and is just a mess.
Although, I will say about their meltdown, if you still have it on your DVR or you go on abc.com and stream it, just go right to the end when they melt down. One of the best, unintentionally hilarious moments of the entire season. They're flipping out, and you see Jack Stone just sort of look... And take two steps this way, and just right out of the picture. And I was like, good job, Jack Stone. That was...
Jack Stone.
He's not catching any shrapnel. He's just like, what's happening? Uh-uh. And just walks out. I'm like...
He doesn't need to be associated with any more violence.
Like, good for you. Hey, listen, serial killers are going to serial kill, okay? Like, whatever. So, I mean, they take off, and then... It's sort of in their wake. Everyone's thinking, oh, we're going to have all this great time together.
So obviously you know that an announcement is coming.
And we get the rare daytime Chris Harrison, which is, I mean, last time it was bad because they were shutting everything down, but and or doing their after-school special. This time, he wanted to let them know that this is going to be the last day. So Jack was sort of in the process of like, oh, Kristen could be a girl I can marry, which...
How do you know that? But okay.
Okay. Sure. And now
you've had like one conversation with her.
Right.
That was just a weird relationship forming.
Talk about 0 to 1,000. Like he just went. And now this leads us all to the most dramatic finale ever.
Which, doubt it, but you know, they got to say it.
And I don't know that there's really much that needs to be figured out next week. I mean, this is really...
It really could have ended last night.
Yeah.
If they made it 2 hours instead of 1 hour, they could have finished the season last night.
They also could have finished it by just not bringing in those four people.
Well,
and just letting the current crop just go to the end.
Which we also forgot, not that it really matters, but Jamie came in.
Oh, right. Well, you know why
Jamie. Jamie.
And it's funny, the reason why I probably didn't catch her in my notes is because it wasn't negative. It was, you know, she whomever, mm-hmm. which I dig. And
guy or girl.
Guy or girl. I kind of wish she would have picked a girl. I think that would have...
It's a little too crazy for ABC right now.
But they did give her in the date card. It did say whomever
mm-hmm.
she could have picked. So that's why when she took Kristen originally, I'm like, oh, okay. I can sign on for this.
Yeah.
This is the Bachelor in Paradise we've all been waiting for.
Be too controversial for ABC.
They just had a shutdown over sexual assault accusations. Can we really? I mean.
I hear you. I'm. You know,
so I mean, do we know? Obviously, we might have some fantasy suites, and even Derek and Taylor sort of joked about that, like, oh, if we get the fantasy, we have to have sex three times. Which I mean, good for you, fun. you would assume Robbie and Amanda would get a fantasy suite because they seem pretty into each other. I don't know that any of the other couples though are that point though. I mean,
maybe I know, Raven and Adam. Oof. Maybe. I don't want to think about that because I don't.
I know they've talked about Kristen being a virgin and Jack. Maybe that's why Jack wants to talk about marriage so he can be the one.
Probably.
In a fantasy suite. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would sort of, you know, with our girl Ashley, that was always the thing is who's going to be the one. I don't know. And the mm-hmm. same thing with Becca. So maybe Kristen's just trying to be the first of the group. To be that one that on the show.
Yeah. Lacey and Daniel would be a little weird.
Yeah.
Even though they seem like they want the fantasy suite.
They really do.
They shouldn't.
No.
But.
Maybe Jasmine and Tickle Monster just to see what.
I don't even want to think about.
What that next morning looks like.
I don't want to think about that. But, you know. You always got D'Lo and Dean.
Yeah, and they've been teasing, you know, it sounds like, and, you know, spoilers or whatever, it sounds like we are not going to get a proposal on the actual show.
Correct.
If you watched the most dramatic finale ever coming up, there will be a proposal, so they say, on the after show.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you've read, I mean, it's everywhere. So, I mean, we're 40 minutes in. You can thank you for listening. If you really avoid all spoilers, but
and have not watched the news or seen any articles
right,
on social media
anywhere, then we appreciate you. But thank you. But this is the warning because you have to even you know, if you're worse than me, all the spoiler warnings. But it's going to be Derek and Taylor, shock the world
with a Neil Lane ring. obviously.
Avi. But
since it doesn't happen in the finale, we won't get to see Neelene, I don't think.
See, that's the thing. Do we think
unless
maybe...
they tape a little.
Maybe he picks the ring out and does the... They go to the final place where they would propose, and he says, I'm going to hold this because I know that I'm going to be putting it on your finger. But you just wait.
Yeah.
Because that always surprises a girl when they know you have the ring and... Oh my God, you're proposing? I only knew that you had
no idea.
I only knew that you had the ring and asked my parents. Oh my God. Like one of those?
Yeah, that could happen.
But will that be the most dramatic finale ever?
No.
I mean, no. We had all kinds of drama last year. So there are all kinds of proposals. It was like Proposal City last year.
Yep.
And it looks like we're going to get a big goose egg for in
actual
paradise.
They have to build that up. It's because that's all they have.
So the creators have sort of been teasing who the next Bachelor will be. And as of what's today, Wednesday morning on the East Coast, they've not announced who it's going to be. That could happen at any moment because Mike Fleiss, however you pronounce his name, has been tweeting like a madman about, and maybe you can check
He's
to
really
see if
drawing this out.
If we're going to be missing anything. But so if you're listening to this and they've announced it, yay, don't listen to the next few minutes. But he keeps going back and forth because it would be, well, do we really want someone who isn't going to propose? And then, well, all options are on the table. And then, well, it won't be someone from JoJo season. And then he put out a tweet where all the words spelled like Nick again. And, well, it's not going to be Nick. I didn't say which Nick.
So he said definitely not Nick, but that was after a tweet about Saint Nick.
Exactly. He didn't say which Nick. But if we have to listen, if we have to sit through another season of Nick Viall trying to mumble his way through dates, I'm going to throw something at my television and then I'm going to charge
it. I'm
not
sure there's going to be a Bachelor podcast next season if we have to go through that.
You talk about hate watching and hate tweeting and hate whatever. I'm just going to be hating everything because it's just going to be a nonstop scream fest. I can't do it.
I don't think it. I mean, I obviously hope not, but I really don't think it's Nick.
I mean, if you think about it, and they keep, like, why he was mentioning Chase and stuff. Like, it's not going to be Chase.
Yeah, that was right.
And I know he said, well, it's no one from JoJo season. Whatever. But it just, no matter what he's saying, it can't be Chase. He was never a good option. He's not a good option now. I still think Peter makes the most sense. I think Eric would be a good choice. I think Wells would be a really fun choice.
He did state that Wells is not the Bachelor.
And he'd be fun, at least not yet. I think
Wells is not the Bachelor, but you're getting warmer. That was his tweet.
But I don't know. How do you get, is it Jorge? I mean, how do you get closer to Wells? I don't understand.
I'd watch it if it was Jorge.
But he also said it wasn't Chris Harrison because all options were on the table. So who knows? Again, I don't know how you don't go with Peter because he's the brand name right now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, apparently they're still upset about him not willing to propose because, hey, dude, you're on a proposal show. I don't know if they'd have to come in some agreement about, listen, if you pick one of these girls, you're going to have to propose. I just think it makes the most sense.
Yeah.
People still like him. He hasn't pulled a Dean.
His last tweet was 10 hours ago, and it was a picture of Josh eating pizza.
Oh, God.
So let's hope that it's also not Josh.
Josh is another one that I would just, no. We are formally canceling this show. If it's Josh. So, I mean, do you...
Or Nick.
Like, who would you want to see? His tweets notwithstanding.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say Peter or Eric.
I think both too. Really good choices. I think they're staring at them in the face. Neither of them... I mean, you can talk about the proposal issue, but neither of them have any true red flags.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Eric, people really warmed up to him. So, I mean, the fans would like either of those choices. And maybe even Eric more than Peter, just because you saw the progression from when he started to when he finished, and then
yeah.
the after the rose was...
He was a completely different person.
I think everybody, myself...
In a good way.
A totally good way. And he was dressing the part, he looked the part, he had the conversation with Rachel that you're supposed to have when you're not picked. It's, I only wish the best for you, we had such a great time, not the... And then maybe if you want to say that's the other red flag with Peter, I mean, they were clearly still not over each other, and you had that
yeah.
tension cutting that you could do. But those two are sort of staring at them, and it's almost like they're trying to, like they did with Nick, they're trying to overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, we're not going to go with Luke, we're going to go with Nick. Like, no, maybe you should just go with the obvious choice in front of you. Like, as it turns out, and I thought Nick did okay, all things considered, but they probably should have gone with Luke. Like, Luke probably should have been the Bachelor.
Yes.
Fresh in people's minds from the actual season, not a paradise. And maybe not needing... People don't need three or four times on these shows.
Pretty yeah, we obvious. Do not need to see Nick for a fourth time.
No. Oh, God. I mean, the Never. Only thing that I'd be open to, and since they care what I think, is if it were... Like they did back with like the Jesse Palmer days, where they brought in someone who we know-ish, whether it's a sports person or a media person, and so you know the name, so there's a familiarity, but they're not from the actual universe yet. I'd be okay with that.
What if it's Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron? Oh, God. That would break everything.
See?
That would break the internet. That would break...
That would break JoJo and Jordan.
That would break the world. Oh, my God. That would be incredible. He's probably going to be playing football during their filming, so I'm guessing he won't be the choice. But how about, here we go. You got Synergy here because he's an ABC guy. Oh, my God. Mind blown, ABC. I hope you didn't make up your mind yet. This is beautiful. Tim Tebow is your next Bachelor. Mm.
There you go. You'd have pretty good ratings.
And you can play, you know, the wholesome card because he's, I mean, legit one of these people who I actually believe the stuff that he says because he backs it up.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the virgin card because, again, he's waiting till he's married, a la the women that we've talked about already on the show. So you could even maybe bring one of them back and have him be one of his girls because they clearly share similar
values. Becca and Tim Tebow.
Becca and Tim Tebow should be the winning couple. We've shut...
Yeah.
You don't even need to film the season. All you
it's
have to do
done.
Is just get Becca and Tim Tebow together. You're welcome.
I think we need to set them up.
This is... Hold on, Mike. I'm going to tweet this out here. Let me write this down. Got to remember to tweet him. Tim Tebow, your next Bachelor. Becca is his future wife. They're going to have beautiful babies who work yes. in the Peace Corps. They become president, save the world. This is...
We have their whole life planned out.
This has been very productive. I hope you feel the same way listening. Are you excited for the finale now that we've found The Bachelor already? Are you ready for The Bachelor in Paradise finale?
I'm ready, I think, for the season to be done with. I don't think that there's going to be anything more shocking than... what we have already seen and what we already know. But yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Fair enough. Well, we'll be back again next week. Is it only one night?
One night.
Wow. Okay. So you don't have to wait the extra day. I know you were concerned. But we'll be back to cover the finale. And hopefully there's a lot of drama for us to talk about. And we may or may not know that Tim Tebow is the new Bachelor. We're going to wait.
And wins Becca's heart.
That we might need to wait a little longer for. But Katie, thank you for all of your knowledge.
Thank you.
And you can find us sort of everywhere. If you just at Bachelor Podcast, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, on Spotify, and pretty much anywhere else you want to find us. Rate, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mother. And we'll be back next week, full house. Christine will be back. So see you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.